Hello everyone, welcome to the podcast From Weak Resistance to Weak Avant-Garde. In this episode, I have the honor and pleasure to welcome Olivier Lesler, the artist who produces installations, projects in public sphere, space and sphere, films on economics, democracy, climate breakdown, forms of resistance and social alternatives. Also recently, very interesting information perhaps in the exhibition in Basel, I noticed that you investigate a little bit the forms of dissimulating of the image of activism, which I found particularly interesting. So I'm putting that on the table as well. Olivier Lesler had comprehensive solo exhibitions at National Museum of Contemporary Art, Bucharest, Salt Galata in Istanbul, Museo Espacio Aguas Calientes, Mexico, and in Belvedere 21 in Vienna. In the past few years, he has focused on primarily climate breakdown, as we said, and climate movements and activism and mass civil disobedience. And in addition, on visions of how to rebuild based on what already exists in the world, such as worker-controlled factories. So basically, how people take the power in their hands, which is something that excites me a lot and which comes up pretty often in the conversations about the avant-garde. So I'm thinking, while you said that this is not exactly the core of your interests, I think that I'll find my way to actually show to what extent, you know, the avant-garde, also in traditional sense, and your work have things in common that I would like to investigate. So I hope you don't mind me kind of twisting the, the agreement a little bit that we've had. But first, welcome, and it's very nice to have you in the podcast. Hello.
Thanks for having me, Eva.
Okay, so let's go to the core of the interest. So, looking at your work, and I've been looking at it for like 20 last years almost, as I participated in one of your videos, I noticed that there is like a political interest that you have, and you explicitly express by the way you make your work, obviously, by the descriptions that you offer of this work, by your like auto-description, and also the curators kind of follow this. And in the last show I have seen from you in Basel, I realized that for me there are certain aspects of form that you take that are interesting. So I'm curious, and would you elaborate a little bit on like how do you approach, you know, the artistic means of production, and whether it would be a dead interpretation to suddenly focus on that, for instance, on this kind of dissimulation that I have seen in your video capturing the ecological movement recently.
Yeah, so the exhibition we saw in Basel in the Drangele Museum consists of four works, and actually these four works also show quite different visual approaches. The central work is the installation What is Democracy? I carried out already between 2007 and 2009, and this is the work in which you participated. And it's an 8-channel video installation, which kind of splits a huge theme, namely what is democracy, into certain chapters, into certain themes that are all clearly labeled. And so the visitors, the audience, they also have the possibility to experience and to get to know the exhibition according to their interests. So they read the labels at the monitors and usually start watching from what they are interested in. Whereas three of the other works that include also my most recent work, they are one channel videos, which are of course much more linear, and watching them, you follow more or less the narration that is kind of different, and there is less a possibility to intervene. I have focused a lot in the past 10, 15 years on ecological issues, primarily on the climate justice movements, focused on forms of mass civil disobedience, but also on very particular case studies, like the recent work that focuses on Porsche's test center in Apulia in the south of Italy, where also the last remaining old growth forest exists. It was meant to be locked in order to increase Porsche's capacities to test cars, which is, of course, completely insane in times of climate breakdown. And in this case, in the south of Apulia, there's also a lot of desertification.
Can I jump in? Because in that work, I've also noticed certain, correct me if I'm wrong, but I would say certain even spiritualism. I mean, there are moments when like people are appearing and disappearing. There is certain play, as far as I remember, with like holographic image almost. And also the presence, the soil, the earth as planet, but also this particular piece of land with the forest and everything, is taking a kind of the approach of it from some activists are taking a more spiritual notion. So I'm curious, like, what does it mean for you? Is it just that you were, you know, following the activists that you found in situ, or whether it's a particular, let's say, change or new element maybe of your work? Like, how does that play into it?
I let myself influence by the forms of existence that are in a certain situation, in a certain context. And this move that also the spiritualism is being included, which I think might be the only in my work,
exactly,
but it's the case, has to do with the situation that the custodi del Bosco de Anio, so the defenders of this forest, they did a multiplicity of different initiatives, and among them was one where they invited an indigenous Brazilian leader from the Tupinambá people to do a kind of a ceremony, yeah, in support of the local people here, but a ceremony that would also kind of get in touch with the ghosts of the forest and connect the ghosts of the forest in Apulia with the ghosts of the forest in Amazonia, as we know, which is also a central forest, which is very much in danger. And I had the advantage to shoot this, and so I managed to include it.
So thank you so much for answering the question. And also I'm like following on what you were saying, but also on some thoughts I have about the kind of work you do, the kind of artistic work you do. I'm going to investigate a little bit into this formal, you know, formal choices, let's say, of yours, because I was thinking of Walter Benjamin, obviously, and his reflections on, you know, the artwork in times of mechanic reproduction, as it's translated, and I was thinking of this kind of work of documentalists. So I wanted to ask you this question, like, to what extent would you see yourself as documentalist? Would you make any distinction between documentalist and artist? And if so, then what? If not, then why? So that would be my portion of questions for now.
Yeah, obviously I'm working with documentary formats. So I try to record certain parts of reality. But then when you use these things and when you edit them in your studio, it's quite obvious that you create your own piece of reality. My observation is that very often when you use just the visual material, which might be video-based video-based material or a documentation of demonstrations or of blockades, people regard this then as documentary material.
Yes.
And they talk then also about the work as a piece of documentation. And so it happens very often that there are specific contexts where I cannot use the documentary material in the easiest way because there is a certain demand, of course, for example, that people stay anonymous because there's a danger of criminalizing them. And that kind of forces me, and there were two projects in the exhibition in the Köln-Galerie Museum using specific techniques of making people invisible, but still keeping them visible as speakers mm-hmm. and as people who are active and protagonists in progressive social movements. And as soon as you use certain techniques like pixelation or putting two or three layers on top of each other, merge them together, and so that you also have different levels of times that are overlapping, yeah. People regard this much more as an artistic mm-hmm, art. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which for me is kind of interesting, yes. Scott. The same assembly, if I show it without any digital intervention, mm-hmm. would be regarded as documentary. Yeah. And when I cut out the faces of the people, for the only reason to for the security of the people, it wasn't to avoid the criminalization, it would be regarded as artistic.
Exactly. And this is this is the place where, you know, realism versus all kinds of other, so the kind of mimicking the reality versus supposedly not mimicking, because I think you're kind of mimicking the reality in the sense that activists themselves, when we make movies about ourselves or other representations of our, very often we dissimulate our identity. So this is like what you did in this film could be actually said like, no, this is mimicking, because this is exactly the kind of operation that an activist today would, but also the police or commercial media would have to hide the identity of people due to the European and other laws protecting privacy, for instance, or for other safety reasons in case of the police or secret services or something. So we have several agencies and several context in which this kind of dissimulation that you practice actually is part of documenting, and yet in the case when you do it, it is becoming an artistic intervention. In case when the police does it, or when the court does it, or when media do it, it is a reality. Yeah. So it's kind of an interesting moment for me to, and this is why I'm so excited about it, because you as an artist repeating these gestures immediately problematize a very important part of our life today and our public sphere and our discussion, which is dissimulation and data protection and privacy protection, which, as we know, are two-sided swords. So sometimes it is genuinely to protect people. But, you know, as activist, for instance, I know that dissimulating my identity over so many years costed me some possible fame, or maybe not retirement, but like recognition and all kinds of... So, you know, it comes with a cost. So it's protection, but also it's like decreasing the recognition, for instance, from the side. So I'm interested here because somehow this work, and this is why I was so interested. So not necessarily that it becomes art in your work, but also that this specific artwork problematizes the ways we are protected, but also the ways we are dissimulated and kind of doomed for being forgotten in all kinds of ways. So like how our political, because these guys whom you filmed in this group meeting in one of the gatherings, I think in Spain, these guys will not be remembered as political activists who probably saved lives of our planet, basically. So it's interesting for me also to see this, like, you know, this erasure, which is very, I'm thinking about Derrida a lot. And so this is interesting also because you never mentioned Derrida to me, at least. Like, I haven't seen Derrida in any ways. But somehow this ghostly presence in the artwork from Italy, this dissimulation in the Spanish context. So somehow it seems that some serious hauntology, you know, enters your work. And this is why it's interesting for me. So I'm curious what you think about this kind of interpretation of your work, and what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, no, that's great. Of course, when you do such a project, you enter in a space of negotiation with mm-hmm. your participants. And very often it's the case that the participants are also not in the same opinion, but they are discussing and might dispute with each other's, because as you mentioned, there are often some people who maybe have a kind of a status that for them it's possible to take a bit more risk, and who would be ready to speak in their name and visible with their face. But as we know, there social movements, very often people who have not these privileges, they could be evicted, kicked out of the state, or can be much easier criminalized than others. And therefore, at the beginning, there's usually this negotiation. Very often those who could afford to stay visible and would also be happy to participate and to get then maybe also this symbolic capital of being part of a project that is being presented to thousands of people internationally, they have to give away this possible advantage in order to appear in the same way as the weakest within the groups wish to.
Did you see much conflict over that, or it's more like assumed that this is the necessary solidarity that people do, and you know?
Yeah, I did not experience that much conflict because I think they had this segregation on other occasions, and so these discussions were never really carried out for the first time in front of the camera. Yeah. So the people were more hearing into what the weakest people in the group would propose and would prefer, and then it usually was made like this. In the case with this Spanish activist in the film Not Sinking Swarming from 2021, you can also hear at the beginning of the assembly me asking whether people would be fine to be visible or if they demand to be pixelated. Mm-hmm. You can also hear people responding that they really think it's necessary to be pixelated.
Okay, I was because now comes the heavy question, because I'm thinking there are so many points in which your work and the classical avant-garde agree. So I'm going to present it to you, and you're going to, you know, say what you think. But for the first instance, it seems to me that you pick the topics that express disagreement with the status quo, and I don't like. Perhaps you made some works that I don't know of, which were like apology of something. But generally, it's very critical. It's like, okay, the earth is dying. We have to save it. So you follow the activists who precisely work against ecological damage, or you follow the activists who for whom democracy is an important value. And so there is basically this disagreement with status quo, which is, I think, the fundamental element of avant-garde art. And then, so the resignation from decoration. So your resistance that I've experienced in several conversations with you towards discussing the form as such. Yeah, you have like really very much into the like content, politics, and that politics understood like not in Rancierian way, so also, but more kind of classically, I would say, as the political ideas or political discourse. Basically, there's that, and I'm more Rancieran, I think, than you, maybe. And I'm thinking, okay, there are certain aesthetic, you know, operations that change the way we experience the world, and therefore they have political content. So for me, for instance, the feminist art has lots of these things, you know, showing nudity, showing vaginas, showing menstruation, was a way of changing the political reality for women, because then the matters that they deal with every day and which were erased from public discourse suddenly have to emerge in public discourse, but also for the rest of society who don't have this kind of experience, they have to learn about, you know, tampons and revolution and all kinds of things that they for some reason didn't think of. So basically there is, and I think in your works I'm much more somehow, and obviously I appreciate the work that you did also with democracy, but somehow these works with the ecological environmental topics, more recent works, bring up more of my excitement, because there are these formal elements with which you have to deal, whether you like it or not, sort of, and which have so much potential in, you know, in inspiring our thinking, also critical thinking about the measures of safety, about the measures of ecology, about the approach to the earth, you know, all these elements which somehow come as necessary element in the documentary process that you're doing. But they sort of explode the rules of documentation, and they demand some further critical thinking. You know, like how do we Why do we pixelate these people? What's wrong with the world that, you know, people doing basically necessary resistance are criminalized suddenly? So all this, I think, from the viewer's perspective, because I have the pleasure in with these newer films of yours not to be a participant of it, so I'm just a viewer, and I look at them and they really inspire my thinking about all these procedural aspects of democracy. So there is this there is this element of the formal, but also, of course, in your democracy film, there is formal, there is a form. And this form also, you know, I questioned you already when we were making the movie in 2007 or 2008. I asked you whether you think you are truly invisible. I remember this question because it was, it's a very feminist question, yes, because very often there is like male narrator. So I was like, are you not, by incident, not intentionally, but by incident, kind of repeating this neutral observer, which is from feminist perspective, of course, is very problematic because, so you had your response and I appreciate that very much. However, it seems to me that the form comes more to the front of your recent works. And for me, they become even more exciting, even more interesting, because I think also they have more persuasive power on the audience. I think your audience might be more inclined to believe in the content, let's say, of the work when they see these interesting visual effects and they're like, wow, that actually, you know, and then, so it's more, for me, it's more rhetorically efficient, I would say, this kind of work, politically. But again, we can disagree on that. And so one element of avant-garde would be the disagreement with status quo. The other one is search for new formal, you know, new formal elements, let's say, in the work and exploring them. And then another thing is to try to break down this war between art and reality. So I think this is very much what you are about, basically, and your art is about. Correct me if I'm wrong. So I think you fulfill the very classical avant-garde principles. What do you think of that interpretation?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I'm interested in exploring new forms in my artistic practice, but I have to admit that this is never at the beginning of a project, right? Mm-hmm. I usually start with research, try to get to know certain contexts, certain people, certain neighborhoods, and then I start to work. And maybe at the beginning, there is the form has just to develop through the work. I usually do not come with a full vision of an end product. Yeah. Right? It's such an interesting combination also between working and researching at the same time. I know, of course, that usually this is like one after another, right? Mm-hmm. First you research and then you work. But in my work, it merges. Yeah. It's with field work and research. And for me, this is so exciting to spend this time in certain contexts like this. So I think also, as many other people argued before me, I do not focus that much directly on avant-garde. Just for example, the futurists were regarded as avant-garde, and we know very well today that even though they might have been in favor of revolution, mm-hmm. did not have like a progressive or democratic or emancipatory revolutionary sense, but in the opposite as border fascists.
Yeah, on the other hand, I come from Poland where the constructivism was the core, like the most, like. And it was actually one of the best world examples of avant-garde. So the artwork of Władysław Strzemiński, of Katarzyna Kobro, they are, and I'll gladly send you some of their work. Recently, the main text, The Theory of Seeing, seeing would be better, perception, you could say, but seeing, what he means is like sensual seeing with your eyes, basically. So Strzemiński was working on the forms of perception that have the political implications. So basically it's like in Rancière, exactly. It's like, you know, the ways he was portraying certain dismantled vision, certain elements of how our sight doesn't see a straight line, but like mixed lines and things like this, allow him to make drawings of the proletarians searching for job, So he makes a formal drawing, which when you take it a little bit further from your eyes, you will see a line of unemployed waiting for this job that there is like for 10% of them, basically. So what Marx was depicting as like overdose of workers in scarcity of labor. No, so basically this is really, so I'm happy to share it with you, because perhaps it is not the model of avant-garde the most popular in the dictionaries of history of art. However, taken from this perspective, and these people were at first communists, then when the Bolshevik Russia invaded Poland, they became socialists, so they sort of abandoned the Russian Bolshevik communist line, but they were still incredibly egalitarian. And one of them created something that later became the Łódź Museum of Art. So he had also this vision that institutions should like institute art. And like this, you also bridge between art and the real life, and you sort of implement, but you also allow a certain continuity to the very precarious artworks. So there is this. So I'm thinking of, from that perspective, it's actually interesting how your documentary, because I'm thinking also of Situationist and this kind of mockumentary detournement tradition. And I think this is much more familiar for you, and probably also maybe a little bit of inspiration, because I think your art comes from this very alter globalist moment of let's document what they are doing, kind of, you know, like alter globalist, not decalogue, but principle. And I think it's very rude. And for this, I have a lot of sympathy, because I was very active in alter globalism before. So for me, it seems like a friendly, how to say, like a neighboring friendly art form or something. So I wanted to ask you also, like, do you see like alter globalist roots in your art? Like, is that a legacy that you would say?
Sure. I mean, I was focusing on economy. I was focusing like in 1998 and 1999 on transnational corporations and how they respond and use terms like the liberalization of markets, deregulation, and economic globalization. And I was doing a huge archive and an installation and a series of exhibitions on that. And I always kind of tried to link my work to resistance. And in the same year, more or less, in 1999, we know exactly what happened in Seattle, yes, when there was the uprising against the WTO. And for me, this was like, wow, I was so impressed. I followed this and immediately I felt, how should I connect to it? It was clear I wanted to connect to it.
And also, there was this independent media center created there, no? So this could have inspired you. It's like, yeah.
So the first two films I think I did were very close to the movement. One of them directly tried to follow in a more or less chronological way a certain events, encirclement in a demonstration, and another one focused and followed a movement, the Disobbedienti in Italy. But very soon I had the feeling that it should go beyond this purely documentary approach. And while I continued to work with documentary forms, mm-hmm, I think the work I carried out afterwards went beyond it. Okay. For example, a few years afterwards, I did in collaboration with the Australian artist Sunny Beck work that included animations and that included things. We had John Holloway speaking in a climate camp, mm-hmm, and gave also kind of a theoretical frame. And then we had interviews with activists and like what there was at the blockades at Heiligendamm in 2007. So they had a bit of a more complex structure and different other levels and layers.
Okay. So I'm gonna go on with like my standard agenda for this podcast, which is the last question, and it's about weak avant-garde. I have been conceptualizing this, and you mentioned those people who are like weak in the social movements and perhaps need more protection. And that drew my attention that, you know, appearance of the word weak can happen for any reason whatsoever. But I was thinking, okay, the kind of avant-garde you're doing is actually is not so much like me and my art form specifically, which was very much this egocentric, avant-gardist, self-presentation and self-promotion that happened with Malevich, for instance. If you read Malevich today, it's like this narcissistic macho talking about how he is going to show everyone what art is about and how we misunderstood it completely until now. So you don't seem to take that position, which is already a different approach. And I think your expectations towards your art and art more generally is more modest. No, it's not your art, your video is going to make a revolution, but it's more like you might support some people on the way to change the world, which is a more modest. So I'm looking, you know, so my concept of weak avant-garde takes into consideration all these shifts, basically, and is about the experiences of the weak becoming the, you know, so not the experience of the strong, hegemonic, heroic subject, but it's precisely the opposite. So it's the weak, it's those who are whose forest is endangered because corporations want to cut it off for cars, or it's, you know, it's inhabitants of a part of town which the developers want to gentrify, or like you take interest in this kind of people. So I'm thinking that this concept of the weak avant-garde continues with the disagreement with the world, with the status quo, and search for new formats also, but it begins from this weak, you know, this moment that Václav Havel was beautifully expressing in The Power of the Powerless that we discussed in Basel. You know, the moment when a grocery assistant in Czechoslovakia in 1970s understands that there is like no way the world can change, and yet resistance makes sense, and yet he makes those little gestures every day, you know, to sustain the spirit of disagreement. So I was thinking that perhaps there are some elements in your artwork and maybe also in your beliefs that sort of tap into that kind of logic, of the logic of like less powerful, of maybe even powerless, non-heroic kind of, and also everyday activity. The documentation is something that we seem to live with on a daily basis. We document our cats, our dogs, our families, you know, we watch documentary films all the time. So this is a weak strategy as opposed to the heroic, extravagant and exceptional artistic strategies from the past. So what do you think on that?
So I think that the classical avant-garde also implied a certain position of a cultural superiority. Mm-hmm. And I think this also gets clear in their position against mass culture. Yeah. And I think this also kind of might connect to a certain weakness, because I think nowadays, I think if you really as an artist want to change the world, it's completely clear that this you cannot do on your own, right? So you can only change the work through collaborating and working in coordination with other people. I think in my personal idea, the most effective is maybe to do it within social movements. Mm. Other people might organize, there's still a possibility to do it within parties, but it's always in collaboration, yeah. Right? So therefore, I think also this imagined distinction between high and low art really has to fall. And I think, and for me personally, it's very important to produce work, even though it might not be true for all of the work I'm doing, but at least for some, or maybe even the majority of the work, that it's kind of accessible for people who maybe did not study art or cultural theory or visual theory, right? So my work, even though not all of the aspects might be accessible, but usually people can go to an exhibition, watch, and they will understand something which might be more in relation to if they watch Malevich Black Square, where you might know a lot of art history in order to understand why it's so important and what's the meaning of producing a black square. Yeah. In comparison, my work focuses on global warming, on racism, on economy, things even like all the kids already can relate to, have the opinion, and that they also come up with opinions which might not be their own opinions, but you could take over some ideas and you could be very much opposed to other ideas. Yeah. But I think this is something you can respond to, and this is very important for my artwork.
Listen, I'm gonna thank you for now, because I think we have a fantastic half an hour, a bit more of conversation. So I'm gonna stop the recording now. Thank you so very much, Oliver Ressler, and thank you the listeners for listening. So one last question, I would like to ask you about the future work. You mentioned that you've just finished some artwork.
Right. I just finished an artwork in public space in Trenčín, this city with 55,000 inhabitants in Slovakia, which in this year is the European Cultural Capital. And my project is also part of this European Cultural Capital. This installation is titled Out of the Passage to Seize Back the Sky. And it's taking place in one of these typical underground pedestrian passages in Trenčín, more or less the only possibility to cross the main street going through the city is to go to walk underneath. And in the passage I carry out the work, there's not even an elevator or an escalator. So for older people or people in a wheelchair, it's impossible to cross the street on their own without help. Yeah. And I took an installation with 5 photographic works, which I think are very accessible, which work with the material there. And it's dealing with this passage and with car traffic, which is dominating in the city and leaves the weakest to be forced to walk underground, and it's more or less a struggle over the sky.
Okay, so you take a weak perspective. Yeah, you take the perspective of the weak in that work. So congratulations, I'm happy that you've done it, and if people want to see it, they should visit the Cultural Capital of Europe 2026, I believe it is, Trenčín in Slovakia. Thank you so very much once again.